You're listening to a sermon from Darebin Presbyterian Church. Visit us online for more resources or to get in touch.
Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise." Let's pray. Father God, we pray that as we reflect on the death of your Son, that we would come to a deeper understanding of why this was part of your plan and why it is a good part of your plan, even though it is such a heart-wrenching, terrible thing to consider. Please speak through me today, speak to our hearts, so that we might have a deeper understanding and appreciation of the cross of Christ. Amen. Do you feel that love has died? When you look around at the world or you jump online, it seems like there's more hate than love. There's more anger than kindness. If you say the wrong thing or support the wrong cause, then all of a sudden a world of hate is coming your way. Remember the campaign around legalizing same-sex marriage? The two key slogans were "love is love" and "love wins." Yet much of the debate on both sides was fueled by hate. And a sad outcome of this campaign, like so many other cultural trends at the moment, is that love gets narrowed down to romance, doesn't it? Love is about being in a romantic relationship, and if you don't have that, then you're not loved. Now, of course, we know this isn't true, but so often it feels like it's true, doesn't it? Do you feel that love has died in your own life? And perhaps you do feel the ache of not having a romantic partner. Maybe you've been through a breakup. Maybe you are rightly convinced that love is more than just romance, but you still feel like love has died as relationships in your family, in your friendship group have fractured. Perhaps trust has been broken. I mean, do you expect hostility as people's default response? Is criticism your constant companion? Where is love in your life? Does it feel like perhaps it has died? It may feel like it's hopeless. It may feel like love will be increasingly hard to find in your life, in our community. It may feel like you'll just have to settle for second-rate love and manufactured experiences. And that's why I want to speak to you today about Jesus and the death of love. Specifically, the death of love on the cross. For a man who preached a message of love, it was heart-wrenching to read about, it's heart-wrenching to read about Jesus falling victim to hate. And just imagine what it felt like for his followers. Imagine their feelings of hopelessness. You know, their teacher, he was going to change the world. He was going to cast out darkness. And here he is seemingly consumed and overpowered by darkness. The death of Jesus would have felt like the end of love, the death of love. But it wasn't. In fact, Jesus' death was a loving death. It was a death of love, which actually shows us that we are truly loved. It gives hope in a dark world that love will actually win in the end. The love of God, which overcomes all of the hatred that humans can throw at it. Let me show you what I mean by walking through the events of Jesus' crucifixion as we read about them in Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 43. And what we'll see are three signs of love from the cross. So kids, listen up. Here's the first answer for your sermon sheet. First up, Jesus prayed for his executioners to be forgiven. We read in verse 33 that the Roman soldiers took Jesus to the place called the Skull, and there they put him on the cross. They crucified him. Yet in verse 34, he says this, have a look. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Wow. I mean, there is love in action, right? Back in chapter 6 of Luke's book, Jesus said this. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. I mean, here is Jesus living that out in the most incredible way imaginable. That's the first sign of love. Now, kids, listen up. Here's the second answer. Sign number two, Jesus saved others by not saving himself. Have a look at verse 35 in your Bible. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The Roman soldiers, they join in too. In verse 37, they say, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And then someone else has a dig in verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. So they all knew that Jesus had helped others, yet he couldn't seem to help himself. Some Messiah, some king. Pathetic. Little did they know that this was Jesus' greatest saving act. As he suffered on the cross, he was suffering on behalf of humanity. He was innocent. He didn't deserve this punishment, yet he was lovingly standing in our place, bearing the punishment that we deserve. I mean, we have behaved like criminals and rebels. We have broken God's law. We've rejected his rule. The punishment for this is death. Yet to spare us from this fate, Jesus died the death of love. And so as the people around him scorned Jesus for being an impotent, helpless saviour, they couldn't have been further from the truth. Kids, listen up. Here's another answer for your sermon sheet coming up. It's important for us to understand that Jesus was not unwillingly on the cross. He was willingly there. Jesus was not being held there by the will of the Jews or even by the Romans. It was not the nails that held Jesus to the cross, but his love. His love for you and for me. As we sang earlier, it was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Jesus died the death of love so that by his love he could deal with our sin. Kids, listen up. Here's another answer for your sermon sheet. The third sign of love on the cross is that Jesus welcomed in a criminal. Now, while one of the crucified criminals is heaping insults on Jesus, the guy on the other side was pleading with Jesus. Have a look at verses 40 to 43. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The criminals deserved their death, but Jesus did not. Yet the death of Jesus opened the way for people to avoid an even worse fate than crucifixion, the fate of being eternally separated from God. In faith, that second criminal, he looked to Jesus for mercy. He's there pleading to be part of God's kingdom, and Jesus warmly welcomes him in. What love! I mean, this criminal has done nothing to earn that. He's obviously done terrible things, and here he's paying the price for that. And at the last minute, at the last second, he's saying, "Jesus, can you get me into heaven?" And Jesus says, "Sure, friend, come on in. I've paid the way." That's love. This truly is the most significant death to ever take place. This is the death of love that brings an end to death and ensures that love will never die. It also shows us what real love is about. It's ultimately not about romantic feelings. It's not even just about being nice. Love is about seeking the good of others. It's about setting aside your needs and considering what is good for other people. Jesus died the death of love to bring us undying love. That's really my take-home message for today. Jesus died the death of love to bring us undying love. This death of love is so amazing because it shows that we can be forgiven, we can be saved, we can be welcomed. Just as Jesus prayed for the soldiers to be forgiven, he prays to God for our forgiveness. Just as he saved others by remaining on the cross, he saves us too. Just as he welcomed the criminal into paradise, he welcomes us as well. You may feel at times that love has died, but Jesus was crucified so that you can know undying love. Let's finish on that idea. You can know undying love. You know, it's so easy to think that Jesus' death was an unfortunate incident, a terrible mistake. Yes, we've seen it was part of the plan. This was the way that Jesus would be the Messiah, the Saviour. It's also easy to think that Jesus merely died as an example to us. This is kind of a demonstration of what love looks like. He put the needs of others first rather than returning hate for hate, and he allowed himself to die. Yet as we've also seen, this was the means by which Jesus could bring us into paradise. It's how forgiveness has been secured. It's how we can know the love of God the Father. You know the famous verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." You see, because of Jesus' love, we can know the love of God the Father. And that offer is open to you right now, today. If you haven't received it yet, then be like the criminal who looked to Jesus rather than the criminal who was heaping insults on him. Put your trust in Jesus. You don't have to do anything to earn it. You have to worry that it's too late. It wasn't too late for the criminal, was it? It's not too late for you. You can look to Jesus, put your trust in him, and he will welcome you in. If you are already a Christian, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, then may these words remind you that you are loved and you will always be loved. It's not the nails that held him to the cross. It was his love. His love for you. You may feel that love has died in your life or that you have to wade through a world of hate each day. But know that Jesus has died to bring you forgiveness, to bring you salvation, to bring you welcome. No matter how dark or difficult life may feel, love will win because Jesus has won through his death on the cross. And we know he has won because of what had happened 3 days later, right? We're going to save that for Sunday, so we're not talking about that today. So come back on Sunday. Jesus died the death of love to bring us undying love. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for sending your Son into the world to not just show us what love looks like, not just to model it, but to enable us to know love, to be loved, to be loved eternally. Because he has dealt with the root cause of hate and violence and evil. He has dealt with our sin. And so as we remember Good Friday today, what Jesus done for us, may we remember that we have been forgiven, we've been saved, and we've been welcomed in. And may that be great cause for rejoicing. For we know that in the death of love, Jesus has died to bring us undying love. Amen.